Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. How are you, Andrew?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good as well. Nice to be here.
Awesome. I am so glad you're both here. Hey, I want to remind everyone, I'm talking at WordCamp Denver, and that's coming up. That is this month. So it's on July 28th and 29th. That's a weekend at the end of the month. I am talking about WordPress and podcasting on July 28th. So if you're going to be in or around Denver, come to WordCamp Denver and hang out. It'll be great to see you. So let's hop into topics. And how about if we start with this this concern that a security researcher has brought up about iOS 12's security code autofill feature? And here's the short version. So Andre Gutman, he has been looking at the way the security code autofill feature works, and he's concerned that it will make it easier for someone to create a man-in-the-middle attack or to commit bank fraud by tricking you to log in to the wrong site with two-factor authentication. So the way this works is right now, if you're using two-factor authentication with text messages for the login code, what you would do is you'd start the login process, username and password, and then once you submit that, you have to wait for a text message to come into your phone, but it can also be your iPad and your Mac because they can all share your text messages. And you'll get some sort of code, and you have to type that in. And once you do that, then you complete the login process. And the idea is that when you're using two-factor authentication in this way, that someone who is trying to hack into your accounts can't do it because they don't have the devices where your extra security code is going to show up. So the way it works today is the code comes in, you jump over to messages, you get the code from there, you hop back to the app where you're logging in, you put the code in, and continue on. iOS 12 changes that so that when the code shows up in messages, you're going to get a little pop-up dialogue at the top of your screen like you would get for any other text message alert. And it's going to show the code that you just got. From there, you can tap it and have it fill in the code for you. So it's autofill in the sense that when you tap on the message, it will automatically put the code into the field for you. It's not like autofill in the sense that the message comes in with the code, iOS 12 sees it, grabs the code, and puts it into the field and completes a login process without you doing anything else. So you're still involved.
Is the concern that somebody could install malware on the iPhone that would intercept and grab the six-digit code before you had a chance to enter it yourself?
No, the concern is that the process is automated, so you're taking out the human element, meaning someone actually looking at the message coming in and saying, hey, this doesn't look right. I'm not sure how the average person would know that a message doesn't look right.
Yeah, I haven't read the article yet, so I'm trying to understand how a man-in-the-middle attack in this case would be different than a regular man-in-the-middle attack. Because, you know, like you were saying, the addition of this new iOS 12 feature doesn't change anything. It just makes the process of entering that code a little bit faster.
You don't have to memorize it and then write it back in or copy-paste it even worse.
Yeah. I mean, you're like SMS two-factor authentication is still pretty insecure, but
yes.
You still get the message. So
right. Yeah, using SMS as two-factor authentication to me doesn't really feel like two-factor authentication. It's really more like two-step authentication, meaning step one, you input your username and passcode. Step two, you enter an extra code that was just sent to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, since someone can sit at a computer and have that text message show up on the computer, that's not that secure. If it could only go to your phone, all right, well, then maybe that does add in a little bit more security, because you'd have to have the phone as well as the computer or the ability to log in from whatever device, but you'd still have to have another device.
Yeah, because I'm running both betas, and I've changed information on certain accounts, and I've been able to use this feature. And because iMessage works on all Apple devices, I'm seeing that text message show up on my iPhone and my Mac and my iPad. So, yeah.
Yeah. The big thing for me when I finished reading his blog post about his concerns, the big takeaway for me was this isn't actually that much different than what we're doing already, except that you don't have to jump between apps to get to the code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really comes down to awareness, and people need to be paying attention to the sites they're logging into, and they need to pay attention to the messages that they get when they're reasonably certain that they're on the correct website, so that if they go to log in the future and they see a different message, then they can stop and decide if they still feel comfortable completing the login process. So it's about awareness, and that doesn't change, I think, with iOS 12. It just takes out the having to jump between two apps.
Mm-hmm.
Is the code extracted from the message, and is that the only thing displayed, or is it?
Yeah.
So you don't get a chance to see the context in which it came from.
Well, see, you still get the message notification, so you still see the code within that notification. So okay. If you can memorize it fast enough, you can still type it in like that, because that's what I used to do. So now the new thing is you still get that message notification, and then you'll see a little pop-up that says from messages and then the code, and then you tap on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that we do when we analyze these is we look for worst-case scenarios, and they hardly ever happen. So,
The worst-case scenario that I see from this is no different from the worst-case scenario that I see in iOS 12 or 10 or 9 or on Android phones or on our Macs or on Windows. It's that people don't understand the codes that they're getting, and they don't know what to look for, and they just blindly trust that whatever information is coming into them must be right because it's on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I still see this as just a situation where people need to be more aware. Yeah.
Well, whenever we make things easier for people, easy means less care.
Well, Dave Hamilton has pointed out on many occasions, and I think he's totally nailed it, that everyone needs to find that balance between security and convenience for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, that's why Touch ID is here, because we're trading off some security for convenience. And we're doing the same thing using SMS for two-factor authentication. It's a convenience thing. It impacts security. It's helping at some, but it's not like when you're doing two-factor authentication, where you need to have a separate application like Authy to generate a token code that expires after several seconds. So, you know, you've got to act quickly to get the code in. And it's that to me seems like a much more secure way to do this.
And I'm more comfortable with Apple doing these things than I would be with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder if Apple could build into iOS its own short code system so we don't need to rely on SMS.
There's no reason why they couldn't. They control the whole thing.
Yeah, and maybe third-party apps like 1Password could just access that code generation from the system itself instead of using whatever they're using right now.
Like what 1Password can do on the Mac today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bet that's totally possible. I mean, if Apple were to build the hooks into iOS 12, because they are giving developers the hooks that they need so that applications like 1Password can tie directly in at the system level so that they can do the auto entry for you. So yeah, I could see a day when that's a thing, and I like that idea, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, talking about trust, how about that Samsung?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. People have been commenting on Reddit about how their Samsung smartphones are taking collections of photos from their phone and randomly sending them to people in their contact list. And it doesn't show up in the messaging app that people are using on their Samsung phone, just the standard messaging app that Samsung includes with their Android phones. So there's no indication in the app that anything has happened. And the only way people have been finding out about this is that they're getting text messages back or they're getting phone calls. You know, people are saying, why'd you just send me these 20 photos? Or why did you just send your entire photo library from your phone to me? And the people are like, wait, what?
Hmm.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
This reminds me of that situation with that Amazon Echo and that woman or the couple. They had like their conversations automatically texted to someone.
Oh, right. Yep. Yep. It's,
well, I first thought this was a bug in Android, mm-hmm. but the more I think about it, the more I think that it's a piece of malware because it's only affecting a few people, and that would be symptomatic of a few people downloading an infected app.
That would be quite a coincidence.
And we've had apps in the past access contact lists and send out spam messages from the contacts list. So that's known technology. It could be.
It could be. What I find interesting, if that's the case, is why is it limited just to Samsung phones?
That's what I was going to say. It's only Samsung phones, so that kind of suggests that it might be a bug in whatever proprietary code Samsung is running on top of Android.
But, you know, you think of a bug as something that just doesn't work right or fails. But to go through the process of extracting photos and texting them to an address, that's not a bug. That's a process.
It's definitely a process. Yep. I mean, it could be a pretty complicated bug generating the process. You know, like maybe there's something on the phone where it can automate sending images, and the bug is in that code section, and so it's just doing it without people's involvement.
What do you mean, like debug software that hasn't been removed in the release?
Could be, or it could be just really crappy coding. So a lot of the people that are commenting have said that they're also T-Mobile users. So T-Mobile has already looked into it, and they said there, we can see the logs where these photos are being sent, but we can't find any indication that there's something on our side that's triggering this to happen. And Samsung is saying, we're looking into it, but they haven't said anything else yet. So if it's malware, all right, well, that sure sounds like a great reason for people to be people on iPhones to be happy that Apple has a walled garden, because the likelihood that we're going to get hit with malware is pretty low, and especially something that's just going to start accessing our photos and sending them off to people. If it's not malware, then holy crap, what is Samsung doing with the Android code that would make this possible?
Maybe they have this thing on their system that automatically scans your photos and then sends them off to a secret server for advertising, and then this is just a rogue process.
That sounds horrible. And the crappy thing is, it sounds plausible.
Right.
So I don't use Android. I play with people's Android phones every now and then and get frustrated and give them back. So I don't know if there's a thing in there. You know how Apple has shown off a new photos feature? I think it's in iOS 12, where your photo library can get scanned, and then it can make – or no, it's in iOS 11, isn't it? Where your people that are in photos, you can get a notice. It says, hey, you know – John's in this photo with you. Do you want to share it with him? And then you can message it to him or put it in in an album or whatever. Maybe maybe Samsung has created their own similar feature and it's not working right. So it's just finding photos and it's like, oh, hey, Andrew's in all five of these photos. I'll send them out. And then John gets five photos of Andrew.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm sure Samsung is already looking at iOS 12 and trying to copy features, so maybe that's it.
You know that at the beginning of June, the day that developer beta was released, all of Apple's competitors were downloading the developer beta and trying to rip it apart and look and see what's in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even well, I'm just a crappy company sort of thing. That's just business. You want to know what your competition is doing.
Right. I just wish they would copy Apple's security and privacy.
Wouldn't that be swell? Yeah. And I'm sure whatever this is, whether it's malware or it's a bug that Samsung introduced in some way, it's going to get sorted out. And it's going to get fixed. But in the meantime, it's going to cause a trust issue. And this is the part where a lot of people will be like, see, well, that's going to be what it takes to drive people from Android over to the iPhone. And what I think is that it's going to solidify for a lot of people, or validate for a lot of people, why they use an iPhone. And and for a lot of Android users, it'll give them an opportunity to bitch and moan and not switch, because stuff like this typically doesn't create the inertia that people need to completely jump platforms. So this will fade away like so many other things, and then we'll talk about it in the future and be like, hey, do you remember that time that Samsung was sending all everyone's photos to everyone else? Oh, good times.
Could be a rogue AI process too. I just thought of it.
That's interesting.
I was talking to Kirk McElhern in yesterday's background note that got published about how you can use AI to scan through previous photos and do facial recognition of previous photos of people. Mm-hmm. And then you take a photo of them and there's red eye, or they blink during the photo and their eyes are closed. And the AI process can go through and find a photo of that person and reconfigure their eyes so that their eyes are open in the photo you just took with no pink eye.
That's cool.
And doctor the photo so you get a great result. So maybe there's some sort of rogue AI process going on in the Samsung phone that went awry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Well, regardless, if you have friends that are using Samsung phones, tell them if they have photos that they'd rather not have people seeing, they should get those off their phones for right now just to be safe. And I'm not passing judgment about what kind of photos might be on your phone, your friends' phones. Just saying, you know, help them avoid a potentially awkward situation.
Yeah.
All right. We're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Andrew, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're welcome. Nice to be here, too.
It's great to have both of you here. Listeners, tomorrow is Wednesday, July 4th, which is Independence Day in the United States. So we will not be recording a show, but we will be back on Thursday. So you get a day off, and it turns out we do, too. So everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on Thursday.